This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy to welcome to the Radio Cafe Larry and Deborah Littlebird and Shebana Koyo. They're here to talk about the Heirloom Food and Story series, which kicks off tonight. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's quite a mouthful.
Yeah. Nice to join you all.
A mouthful, literally and figuratively. What's it all about?
Heirloom Food and Story, it's an event that I'll let Deborah speak to about her part, her genesis of it. My part of it is it brings together two cultures, East Indian, which is, I'm actually West Indian, but never mind. But here in New Mexico, I'm East Indian. East
right.
Indian and Pueblo Indian, and it's a celebration of food and story to benefit Tano Farm at Hamata. And Deborah and Larry, maybe you want to speak about that.
Yes, I'm Deborah Littlebird. I'm the executive director and actually the farm manager at our nonprofit, Tano Farm at Hamaatsa. And some people know this also. I'm actually the chef for our retreats here. And we do a lot of farm-to-table meals at our center here. And this is the first time that we're teaming up with Shebana and some other folks to do a farm-to-table dinner. So we are actually serving foods from our farm. And I've also been sourcing foods from some of the other local farms in the Santa Fe area. And we are serving this amazing menu that I have created with Tanvir Coelho, which is Shebana's mother. And we have, we feel, put together some amazing flavor profiles for the lucky diners that get to attend this story dinner. And they will be able to taste East Indian food and Pueblo Indian food together. And Larry Littlebird, my husband, and Shebana, my dearest friend, will be sharing as spoken word artists. They will be sharing as part of the menu. They're actually on the menu. And so we will, it is not like a story theater where you're having performance while you eat. There's actually going to be these pauses and these wonderful blessings and poems and heritage stories. And then the heirloom food.
So how did you come together as two Indians? I mean, you know, this we can talk about the history of what those words mean or not or whatever. But, I mean, have you found that you've got some common ground culturally, food-wise?
Yes, we have. I mean, we're still trying to figure that out. Who is the real Indian? That's how we came together. Shebana and I, when we first met, it was just there was like a grin underneath when we were both looking at each other, and sooner or later we knew it was going to come out, and it did. Now, who's the real Indian? And we joke around about this for all the time that we've known one another, and then really the whole concept of a meal came out of this idea of farm dinner. But the kind of farm that we have here at Tano Farms is a way in which for people to really get back to a sense that I believe is lost in this country, the sense of family and what are we eating. The sacredness of food is totally gone from most families' consciousness. And so we're attempting with the telling and the sharing of stories that come from our families, attempting to describe not only what it's like to be who we are, but where are we from, who are our family members, and then to share that with a taste of the kinds of foods that we have, and to come together like family around a large meal. I mean, most families, they celebrate in America, they celebrate Thanksgiving. But really, family meals are a foundation for our families, and that's just really hasn't been taking place very often or with much consciousness. So this is I think how it all came about, and it really was a directive of Deborah's, because this has been her experience here at Hamaza in making food for all of the guests that we have when we've done our events here.
I think the other thing that's exciting for me is what it brings up, what the encounter brings up, not in me, but what when we come together, I think when we go to a certain depth to bring out stories, it allows listeners to do that. And I think my whole encounter with Larry and Deborah is ushered me into a time of listening. I feel this is a listening season in my life, both with what is emerging, with the stories of where I'm from and ancestors of lineage, but also of spirit. And what I love about this too is that we are gathering together with others to share in the hopes that it will let their stories rise as well. And so that's my story of this story.
Are you inviting people who come to the dinner event to also share stories?
Oh, not really at this time. I'm sure it's going to evoke people who want to share a story or two. And at our other events, that's always one of the things that we like to do. But I'm sure there will be people who will be inspired to share something. And so that's always a possibility.
And that's true. And what one of the formats for these story dinners is to create this sense of gathering in a family style. So the guests who are coming, and we have seating for 30, and we actually have 3 spots left. They will be around tables of 8. So some people will come maybe as a couple or maybe their own family. We have a family coming of 4. But they're going to meet other people. And so we're giving enough breath and pause to this meal so they can too share stories while they're enjoying the evening.
Now, how did you combine your culinary traditions? Because when you think about Indian food and, like, you know, New Mexican Indian food, I don't know. Like, what's the common ground? Fry bread?
Well, actually, it's funny you say fry bread, because we serve at Tano Farm what we call healthy gourmet meals, and I cook with the inspiration of Southwest Native and Pueblo foods. As I've been blessed being with Larry to be among the Pueblo people, I have many heritage recipes. And so we have a little bit of the spicy on the menu. We have actually a traditional Pueblo red chili stew, and then Tanvir Coilo is making a green curry with corn. And we actually did do a rehearsal dinner together so we could see how the profiles blended. And it was just beautiful because you have the spice of both, but they're very different. And then a lot of the farm-to-table stuff I'm bringing, for example, we have heirloom radishes from our farm on this beautiful herbed radish butter on rustic bread. And then we have Tanvir's La Masala chicken. And we have shishito peppers, and then she's got coriander yogurt chutney. That, to me, it shows how it's all blending. So we really took time to blend the particular foods and spices. I think people are going to be really amazed at how well these two cultures come together with the food.
We're talking to Deborah and Larry Littlebird and Shibana Coelho, and we're talking about this event which kicks off tonight, the Heirloom Food and Story Series. Now, are you planning to do this again? And when you say series, you're going to have them every month or something?
Deborah, you can speak to that. It's meant to be offered in the 4 seasons. So just one thing I wanted to say before about the food. What the other inspiration for the food was the home, like what we cook at home. So we took India in a big way and brought it back to our family, so that the food that my mother is cooking is food that she grew up with. The corn curry, it's called a bhutte ka salan. It's something that growing up she cooked. And even the lal masala chicken, it's a red masala chicken. So the inspiration was like, we made it really small as opposed to all of India, which is very big, in our little particular culture. And the same with Deborah. So that's the other the thing that connects us, the intimacy of the food.
Well, that's beautiful. And we do have these planned to take place over the four seasons. They are presented by Hamasa, but we will be collaborating with other cooks and chefs and storytellers. And who knows, we may do another one of these. It seems to be a very popular coming together of two cultures. But for November, we have the next one planned. So there will be four a year, and they'll be following the four seasons. And in November, we'll be doing a fall hunter-gatherer. So it'll feature different hunting cultures, people who gather and forage their food. We'll bring those chefs in, and we will have stories that come from the hunter-gatherer cultures.
Now, this is a benefit for Hamasa Tano Farm, or the Tano Farm at Hamasa. Tell us about that. It's a nonprofit. What do you do?
Well, the name, both names, come from the lineage that I come from, Tano. We live, our farm is right here on the Arroyo de los Tanos. And the Tano are an extinct Kewa people. And they were originally out in the Galisteo area. However, I have a grandmother who was one of the last surviving people, and she fled with her mother from the Galisteo region, and they took refuge down at Santo Domingo, which is Caries, and that's where she grew up and eventually met and married my grandpa. And so I have direct lineage to the Tano people and that Kewa culture. And so this region is really steeped as ancestral lands. And Hamasa, the name Hamasa, we chose that because Hamasa is a reference to time. And it's really about all time that has been and all time that will be. It all meets right now in this moment. And so that's what we attempt to do here at Hamasa, is to really be here. And that means learning how to slow down. And that's what food is really all about. It's not your fast food. We're really attempting to help people understand what is slow food through the slow story. And the slow story is something that could go on all night.
And just a little bit about our mission. We do have a mission that is to work with Native farmers, and we are presently working with Native farmers, especially the younger generation, so that they can also learn how to bring their crops to market and be one of the leading people, especially in the state of New Mexico, to be part of this whole local food movement. But at the same time, one of our heart desires is to really turn the tide against food insecurity in these food deserts that, of course, are very prevalent in Indian country, but also many underserved communities in New Mexico. So that also is what this is benefiting, is to address these issues of food insecurity. And through this and showing people how you can actually have joy and be at a dinner like this, but at the same time you're supporting the local farmers, and especially, like I said, we are really supporting young Native farmers, and there is a real deficiency of young farmers, period. I guess the average age of farmers is 60, so this is a lot of what we do here when we teach here is mentoring.
I wanted to get back to something that you were talking about earlier, which was sitting around the table and family dinners, which is definitely how I grew up. I mean, going to a restaurant was a very rare and special occasion. It wasn't a kind of normal thing. And I didn't know how to cook. My mother or father made dinner every night, and we sat and ate together. It wasn't always the greatest. Sometimes it was great, you know. But I wondered what each of your experiences was. I mean, is that how you all grew up sitting around the family dinner table every night?
I did. I grew up in India, in Bombay, till I was 12, and then we moved. I have two brothers. Well, one of my brothers was born here in the U.S., but we grew up in a small suburb of Bombay called Bandra. And in the house that I grew up in, my grandmother lived with us. Sometimes my uncles lived in a bungalow with a view of the sea. And so we cooked. My mother cooked. My grandmother cooked. My father's mother, my mother's mother. It was in Bandra. Every conversation involved food of some kind. Some food that you pick at or food that you really eat. And so for me, one of the things is that I grew up listening to stories that all... I kept thinking maybe I need to write them down, but it's not till this event that I realized that, you know, the encounter with Larry and Deborah is like these stories that are connected, hearing them with food, these are stories that I want to tell. There are some things that are meant to be spoken, and I realized that I've been eating and listening to speak. So that's what my background is coming to this event.
And that's one of the cultural connections, I think, which is really... influenced both of us and inspired all of us is how the languages are something that we ingest and something that has to be savored. And in order for that to happen, it has to be truly listened to. And so for me, growing up on the Laguna Reservation and growing up primarily, I was really... blessed to be with my grandma and my grandpa at their sheep camp. So I had these two older people with me all the time. And one of the things my grandma would constantly say to me was, "Grandson, I'm going to have to teach you to listen." And, you know, I could hear her. I thought that's what she was talking about. But over time, I came to understand what she was referring to, how there's something inward, inner, that we have to pay attention to. And that's the same thing with food. You can't just rush through a meal. And so conversation, where people are truly listening to one another as they share, is really what our meals are really flavored with. And they are about those meals in such a manner as I believe that I have seasons and seasons and seasons of grandmothers, because that's what I heard when I was in these meals with my grandparents. And so this is what we're feasting on.
And I, too, I did, Mary Charlotte. I grew up the same way in Michigan. My family were farmers, but also gourmet foodies. So there was always plenty of fresh, amazing food around our table. And, you know, fast food was unheard of. We had to always sit down. We couldn't get up from the table until everyone was finished. And I do think that is a lost thing today. When we were homeschooling our two boys, Larry and I, you know, they were home during the day. We had lunch around the family table, lunch and dinner, and sometimes breakfast. And, you know, this is one of the things that I, when I met Larry and began to go to the Pueblos, that was just such a beautiful thing, because I could see that, you know, this culture, this ancient culture, has been doing this gathering around food and sharing forever. So I immediately just fit right into that. It resonated to me from, you know, my roots.
Larry and Deborah Littlebird and Shibana Koyo are here talking about the Heirloom Food and Story Series. It kicks off tonight. And if people are interested, I will link on my website, santafe.radiocafe.org, to the place where you can get tickets. But it's, if you want to write it down right now, ladies and gentlemen, heirloomfoodandstory.brownpapertickets.com. If you go there, you will get all the information you need and can sign up. And for future reference, if people want to find out more about this, what should they do? Should they go to the hamatsa.org website?
Yes, that's correct. So all of our things are posted on our website, but if you specifically want to get on our newsletter, which has the announcements for Tano Farm and for the Heirloom Food and Dinners, just go to hamaatsa.org, hamaatsa.org, and click on the contact button, and you'll see a form there which you can simply input, and we'll get to us, and then you will get announcements.
Excellent. Well, Larry, Deborah, and Shivana, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
We really appreciate it, Mary. Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.